Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Just worked on him the way they're working on you.
Look, I don't want to hear that.
Sal si puedes.
Episode.
Wow. Guanajuato.
Eternal
Exile.
Finds.
Sanctuary.
Begins now.
That's a hell of a song. Y'all ready for this?
Hell yeah!
Of all the places I have visited, and I have been around, Guanajuato is my oasis. Cobblestone roads, blue skies, great food, friendly people. That magical vibe, and only a four-hour flight from Los Angeles. Okay, let's go back.
How far are you going back? Way back!
For my first trip to Mexico, I went to Oaxaca, Mexico City, and Guanajuato, all with my then girlfriend. Oaxaca was very colorful, and then we went to the capital, which was gigantic and even more chaotic than LA. I do remember our shock when the bus took a mountainous path and did not really slow down on perilous hillside roads. From the side window, you could see the ravine below, but not the road we were on. We even saw crashed automobiles down below that weren't so fortunate. From Mexico City to the Guanajuato bus station took about 5 hours. Then we took a taxi to El Centro. We stayed in the wildly named Hotel Central. It was boring and old, but right in the center of this lively but tranquil town. There were loud fireworks going off at all hours of the day and night, and we wondered from our room if the Chiapas Rebellion had come north. We later learned it was due to some saint having a birthday. The skies were very blue though. They even seemed closer than the other few skies I had experienced. I fell in love with the city and that sky immediately.
You mean what a Christmas sky!
I happily discovered there were no stoplights in the center of the city, so you could just keep walking. My kind of town. I don't even remember any stop signs. We had a great time there. I repeat, it is still my favorite city of all those that I have visited. Take that, beautiful Ghent, Belgium. Have some magical Mostar, Bosnia. Even the relentlessly tranquil Atitlan, Guatemala, with your kind Gente Sutujil and majestic lake, some of my favorite places I have known. Need to step back when I wax frenetic about this lovely town city in the middle of
Mexico.
A few teachers have asked me over the years to speak to their classes about my travels. I hope I was able to share my enthusiasm about such adventures as others have before me. And during those talks, I have been asked more than once, "Mister, what is your favorite place you have visited?" I smile and say,
"Reigning, defending, undefeated
is Guanajuato." Some are confused and surprised. Some even One student might say, "Huh? I have an uncle there." Another chirps, "Say what? That's like in Mexico." I think they want something more foreign or distant. But nope, a four-hour flight is my little colonial cobblestone oasis. I tell them what I'm telling you. It is humble, serene, simple. Sure, there are other places like that. But Bayan, Colombia was chill. Battambang, Cambodia was very relaxing despite the construction. Even lovely Vilnius, Lithuania has a place in my heart. But Guanajuato,
you're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to.
One time, my friends from Lincoln Heights, Anita and Esteban, came down to visit and they enjoyed the serenity, even the silent lucidity. We met a local friend of mine at a bar called La Cueva in Plaza del Baratillo, which is, of course, next to that little health store, El Unicornio Azul. And in that dark bar, Anita remarked, "It feels magical here." The nights are magical there. My Guanajuato friend said, without hesitation, "Pues claro, así es aquí." I enjoy that magic in the air. It's all over that pretty little town. My LA buddies did later comment that the town may be a little slow for them. Big city folk.
We don't know.
Let me give you a tale from this beautiful town. So a few years later, I returned to Guanajuato on my own for a longer stay. It was just as I remembered, even more serene, even pristine. One day, I decided to venture into nearby cities like San Miguel de Allende, León, and Dolores Hidalgo. It was on a corner in Dolores where my experience in Guanajuato would take an interesting and musical turn. One afternoon in Dolores, I refused the famously unique ice cream offerings in a plaza due to them containing bovine secretions. I saw helado de frijol, ajo, and chicharrón.
What?
When I walked away, I noticed a black-shirted, brown-skinned hooligan standing above a blanket covered with various cassette tapes for sale. What do we have here? Was my first thought. Turns out Globo was quite the source for all things punk Mexicano. I walked over, said hello, and looked over the tapes. So many bands I had never heard. Los Limones, Meli, Moda Ridícula, SS20, Desobediencia Civil, and so many more. Globo was a nice guy, and I got some of the above-mentioned tapes, and we chatted for a good while. "Ah, you like hardcore more than punk," he said when I mentioned the bands I like. Extinction of Mankind, Infest, Drop Dead is what I was digging at the time. "Get that pop punk shit away from me." He asked where I was staying. I told him. He said, "Oh, in that city is a newer band that is really good, Suicidio Urbano. The drummer is a good friend of mine. He works at his family's restaurant, La Escalera." "Sounds good," I said. "What's his name?"
"Godzilla."
Go, Godzilla.
I did the relaxing 1 hour and 20 minute ride back to Guanajuato from Dolores, and one day I eventually walked up Calle Alondiga to La Escalera restaurant. The waiter was a large fellow with a scowl etched on his face. He saw me and motioned me to a table. He came over and offered me the menu. He was minding me, but also looking over to the kitchen. I think he was the only one running the show. Can I have a sopa azteca? No cheese and no meat to start. Also some enchiladas. Can you make them with beans and mushrooms? As I mentioned, I never want any dead animal remnants in my food. Sure, no problem. You said no cheese. Yes, thank you. One more thing. Where can I find someone whose name is Godzilla? His face hardened even more, and he stared at me as if he was envisioning strangling me with a water hose. He stood over me and asked slowly, "Who is looking for him?" I stayed calm and said, "Ah, yes, Global in Dolores told me if I wanted any info on the punk scene here to ask for Godzilla at this restaurant." His mood lightened, but he was still tense. "What kind of information?" "Ah, who are the local bands, where to find music?" And he said there was this killer band called Suicidio Urbano that I should check out. He actually smiled. Turned out he was and is the vocalist and drummer for Suicidio Urbano. The food was delicious, and from that day forward, the man named after a Japanese monstrous reptile became my best friend in Mexico.
We're gonna do another now! It's another cult!
Rediscovering travel from an unpretentious writer from New York? Who would have thunk it? My friend's 14-year-old daughter, Nora, rolls her eyes at the mere mention of the New York Times.
Did you just roll your eyes at me?
It has to be aristocratic horse coming from that rag, right? So even the new generation holds that stereotype.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
I kinda had that thought too, but Seth Krugel is mostly cringeless and made me laugh out loud more than a few times. Guy is funny. I really enjoy travel anecdotes about small towns or seemingly innocuous encounters in faraway lands. He shares many of those, and I did enjoy them. I liked the one where he ended up at a Hungarian distillery and got toured about by workers. Totally unexpected. Hilarious that Krugel claims he remembers that tour more than his time at the Sistine Chapel. He said he was chosen to write the Frugal Traveler column for the New York Times because an editor wanted a writer who travels, not a travel writer. I never once read his column, but he writes really well. Quote, "But if one of the reasons we travel is to better understand how the world works, then meeting a former Richmond, Virginia housekeeper eating a custom-ordered chili cheeseburger on his way to German class is, to me, just as good as any critically acclaimed museum." Unquote. I like people who appreciate details like that. He provided many similar examples. He also name drops, but in a good way. It reminds me of when a band or writer you like is interviewed, and it is fascinating to read who influenced them or who they appreciate. He also appreciates Colombia and Guatemala, like I do. He also liked the people in Lebanon. "I can't wait to go. I'm waiting for my friend Suhail to accompany me to his hometown of Beirut one of these days." Krugel mentioned how he hates to be asked how many countries he has visited and has no time for unoriginal travel itineraries. Quote, "Forcing myself for the 1,000th time to wander unknown streets, to tolerate uncomfortable moments, to thrive on unprocessed experiences and unvarnished attractions. It's time we leave a bit more of our vacation to chance. Take a few extra risks. Welcome a bit of unease." He gives good accounts and seems to be a well-intentioned traveler. I too feel if you are from the West or if you got cash, don't bring your first world attitude to new lands. This is not the 15th or 16th century.
This is 1942 or is it 1492?
He can get preachy at times and sometimes sounds like a, "Hey, get off my lawn, grandpappy." That is the only blemish for me, and it is mainly in a few chapters about modern amenities. But he is on point about gentrification running rampant and travel trends like hotel boutiques, artisanal bakeries, and vegan food tours.
F*** being vegan. You know, what am I supposed to have with cookies? Water? That shit don't taste good.
I remember laughing at one of his adventures in Kentucky. You can almost see the ending before his retelling. Sometimes you just gotta trust your instincts. It's how you got this far, no? Sometime I'll tell you how I almost got sliced up with a machete in Guyana. That's for another time. For now, listen to how the city slickster's dark sense of humor carried him through an actual good time. Quote, "Then I spotted a gas station convenience store, crossed the road and parked my bike. It was immediately clear this was not your generic Slim Jims, Dasani, and gas operation. Baggies of homemade Kentucky cream candy, $3, sat on the counter, and some folks had gathered around a somewhat out-of-place table by the soda fountains, acting like a family in their living room," unquote. That place later offered him a room a bit off the beaten path and sort of away from the store. Quote, "Kevin glanced at me. This would be a good place to kill someone," he said. Then he paused for just a split second, monitoring my eyes for the slightest flinch before cracking up. If there were a severe role for comedic tension, he had just tailored a bespoke gotcha, measuring the dynamic between three Eastern Kentucky kids and a 44-year-old city slicker stuck deep in the woods with remarkable precision. Unquote. I love stories like that. I have always been a fan of those that can spin quite a yarn. Is it all true? Who cares? If you adventure out into the world, you are bound to meet people and make friends and have quite a few tales to share. How fun is that?
Hell yeah!
Kruger is humble in his delivery. Even when things don't go according to plan, you make the best and celebrate that you are in another land. But isn't it dangerous to just get up and go to some faraway spot? I think only 35% of US citizens has a valid passport, and that is crazy to me.
Crazy, but that's how it goes.
I remember someone saying, "Why travel when we have everything here? Isn't it expensive and out of the realm of possibility to travel? Then how the does this substitute stay in other countries like Mexico, Nicaragua, or Vietnam for months, almost every year?" You got to sacrifice a bit. I remember the words of Anthony Bourdain. Quote, "Travel isn't always pretty. It isn't always comfortable. Sometimes it hurts. It even breaks your heart. But that's okay. The journey changes you. It should change you. It leaves marks on your memory, on your consciousness, on your heart, and on your body. You take something with you. Hopefully, you leave something good behind," unquote. How I have been doing it for many years will become clearer as the episode
walk on by.
And I ain't no blue-blooded knight from Silver Lake, okay? If it is a dream to see more of the world, there is a way. You have to find yours. Who said it would be easy?
He was once a thug from around the way. Easy!
Especially for an everyday Joe like me. Again, I grew up without creature comforts. Or any comfort for that matter. But you just have to be okay with being uncomfy, Buttercup. The things you will see and experience can make you a better person. Quote, "Nowadays, travelers aren't really meeting people or opening up. Everyone's following each other with their laptops, waking up late, missing out on the good sunrises. The night before this picture was taken, I slept on the uneven stone slab floor of the highest fortress so I could wake up early and experience the dawn glory. The wall stretches out forever. I mean, like, man, it's infinite. I kept wondering why they didn't build it across the ocean." Unquote. As you get to know my predilections, I am usually not one to run to the New York Times for any kind of recommendation, especially one regarding travel. I may not roll my eyes like my friend's daughter, Nora, but I take my travel counsel from friends and less pristine avenues like blogs and YouTube channels. Recently, I traveled to Ukraine at the behest of my Belgian friend Wim, who now lives in Munich. I am so glad I went. The words of a friend took me to a nation whose existence is now in question. Will I ever return? My point, listen to those who tell you traveling is the because it is. Go, let yourself be changed. We have stories to make and share. Perhaps we should shed the word authenticity altogether and make it our goal to encounter stuff that's as close to real life and as removed from the travel industry as possible. In other words, to travel organically. Instead of looking for authenticity in isolation, we must understand that our world's fascinating interconnectedness is the ultimate authenticity, and that its absence is an equally intriguing exception. Those are some fine words from this New York writer.
We're gonna do a number now! It's a number called
An Old Fresa Rides Again. A movie where the characters have none. I only watched this movie because it was filmed in my favorite city in my world. It did not get off to a good start. I am very particular about cinema, so don't give me acting. And don't give me sad music, trying to make me feel. I know how to do that. I have always noticed in many US films, they come with that Hallmark music. What is wrong with? This is a sad scene, so let us help you get in the mood. That is so unromantic. This flick is about an old man wanting to study at the University of
Guanajuato.
There are some quick views of the city. A stupid dinner table scene with his Fresa family. Damn terrible acting, upper middle class whining. The mom is lame as all hell. His wife tells our main character, in front of their Fresa kids, so they can call you señor with so much respect. You earned it, or some. I've been in that university several times. But that basement library scene is cool. Never been in there. Just the main floor on Callejón El Truco. The main character is told he looks like Don Quixote. So you mean he is going to begin a journey? Real subtle. Those discussions between the main character and his wife are brutal. You ever hear of brutalist architecture? The 1950s through 1970s style? That is still common in Eastern Europe? Well, this is uglier to watch. Is that how it is to be old and married?
Yeah, marriage is like having cable with just one channel. The same shit come on every day.
When the old guy entered a classroom and the students thought he was the professor was kind of funny. College students can be so subservient to authority. Like most of us, huh?
El anarquismo es la libertad, es la puerta abierta hacia el infinito de la libertad y del bienestar de la humanidad.
Cornball music again. A guy playing an acoustic guitar tells the old fart, "Está chida la rola, ¿no?" And this dinosaur acts like he has never heard those words. Where the f*** have you been? That's how locals talk, no? Dude, you're 705 years old. You don't walk the same streets as the locals or ever spoke to a young person? In this city, famous for mummies, I guess there are some still walking around, huh? Grandpa, wake up and smell the cacao. After one class, the professor remembered his name and saw him right as he walked into the theater for a rehearsal? Yeah, right. The prophet tells him that it wouldn't look good for him to be in the play. And turns him away. They see me as an old man, the geezer whines. How do you want them to see you? Yaps his ancient baby cakes. Stop with the Disney BS music, please. I want my violins violent, not impotent.
In some cases, men developed extreme penile soreness. Side effects may include headache, achy testicles.
Later, there was a dance party, and I think it was filmed in Purdy Plaza San Fernando, where my friends from Oaxaca had a cool cafe where they sold vegan crepes with strawberries, Oreo cookies, and homemade Nutella. I actually liked the dance music in the scene. There is a scene at one of my favorite places, the bridge outside Café Santo. Such a great view. By the way, that cafe serves a mean agua de melon. So our main character hangs with a group of youngins, and we discover that the rude professor is boinking one of them.
Gotta touch my ding dong.
They show him going out with her in public. Yeah, right. I surmised that he is married with some offspring, and he gonna be parading about this small town with some young tender? I don't think so. He gets her pregnant and dumps her. Even offers to pay for the abortion. Cut to a family photo with his wife and kids. More subtlety from this great director. Our main character, El Estudiante, marches into Professor Horny's office and slaps him across his horny face. How chivalrous. Kinda like the real Don Quixote. Didn't Cervantes' Don Quixote make about 4 rape attempts in that celebrated novel? Horrific. His wife is trying to make out as some wise matron of the house. Of course, she tells the pregnant college student to have the baby. Later, another character who liked this student declares his love for her and her pregnancy. They become an oh-so-cute couple. Another funny side story. One of the students finds his girlfriend by meeting her the first day of class. Swoons her, and all is good until she won't put out.
But everybody wants some! I want some too!
He's bothered. Hot and bothered. She says that all he wants is some boom boom.
Boom, boom.
And they break up.
Everybody wants some! Everybody needs some!
Darkness descends upon them all. This maniaco tries to win back her love by taking her to a romantic meal outside in El Callejón del Beso. Dumbass, there are no tables out there. I used to live right by there in Callejón Venado. There is a wing spot a few houses down from my spot and the famous enchiladas place, a tiendita, and that obnoxious Fresa Corazon Mexico hotel. But no tables, Romeo. Anyway, that meal won her back, and he either got a little something something,
what you into today? A little lollipop love, a little digging for diamonds,
or embraced his virginity.
Me love you a long time.
The obnoxious old wife dies in her sleep, and our Don Quixote imposter is all sad. He looks like Fidel Castro. The bed scene where he is alone staring at the ceiling is maybe the best scene in the movie. We can see and even feel his solitude. Finally, a good scene. He doesn't want to see anyone, but goes to the graduation and sees his young pals, and he meets the baby and he asks her name, and they say Alicia, and the stupid music starts all holy and dumb because that was his wife's name. How cute. Because life continues, right? Movie was choppy as all hell and very rushed. No pacing at all. Bam, and then she dies?
Okay, what the f***?
I give this movie 0 pentagrams.
We're gonna do a number now! It's a number called...
I love me some gorditas.
When I returned to Guanajuato on my own, those many years ago, veg spots were not the norm, but you learn to make do. Come on, I know how to survive. Plus, I grew up in East Los, so Mexico was not that foreign to this Chicano.
Who is a Chicano, and what is it the Chicano want? A Chicano is a Mexican-American with a non-Anglo image of himself.
I now have my travel ways and food hacks somewhat on lockdown, but back then, it was time to improvise. First thing, even now sometimes, is to hit the mercado. I've done it in Manila, Philippines, Curitiba, Brazil, Guayaquil, Ecuador. It is usually the place to go early in the morn, especially if you arrive early on a bus, like I did once in Odessa, Ukraine.
The Kremlin may have nostalgia for this port city's imperial history, but it's not reciprocated. If Russia comes, Odessa will resist.
Finding fresh pomegranate juice in that huge mercado was such a great moment. I got there early on a rainy morning, and most vegan spots were not open, but I knew mercados usually open early. Anyways, back in Guanajuato on my first long stay, I found food safety at Mercado Hidalgo. I found some easy favorites. That iconic spot used to be a bull ring, I'm told. How gross. I noticed these women with these giant mounds of cut nopales. Probably not the safest spot for them, in the open, as people walk by and cough near them. Plus, not a fan of nopales that are not cooked or dried. That slime I don't like. But throw them in a tortilla with some tomatoes and onions, and this guy happy. I'd get three of those for about a dollar. Those tortillas were way different than the ones served to me in the U.S. Is it just that the farmland is different over there? The processing? The actual corn? Lime? Additives? Why did Mexican tortillas taste so much richer and softer? Then grab a carrot beet juice for another buck. I later met a friend. The complicated tale of Patricia is for another time.
Swing! Swing!
And she told me about the women on the other side of the mercado who sold gorditas. These thicker tortillas, almost like a pita but made of maíz, stuffed with garbanzo beans, onions, salsa, and potatoes or nopales. Oh, those were delicious and greasy. Crunches, way to crunches. Near those women were some women who sold giant camotes drowned in piloncillo and canela. Sweet potatoes for the win. Again, not too many veg spots, but you get by. You start organizing a routine. A green smoothie or maybe some locally made granola and fruit for breakfast. Those tacos for an early lunch. Then for dinner, I think I relied on some bland Chinese food for a while. I was staying in a house with no access to the kitchen. It was really cheap, about $75 for a simple room for the month, and way up in the area called El Carrizo, up above the city. Quite a hike. Sometimes the owner would offer me some avena in the morning. I then worked for meat school, the Japanese woman who ran a language school, and she told me about a local sushi spot, and I relied on California rolls for a while. Not so bad.
California!
It was not so easy when eating out, but you could enjoy a cup of cacao, in water, in a cafe or some green tea. Sometimes, cookies would be sold with listed ingredients that did not include eggs, butter, or milk. They were dry, but I realized there how much I enjoy sandia, melon, duraznos much more in Mexico than in the U.S. Plus, uvas, higos, granadas, papayas, mangoes, etc. Much more easily attainable because of the mercado and smaller stores on every street. My diet was not too varied, and my lack of access to a kitchen did not help. But on that extended visit, I was just happy to be there. I did fall in love with Sopa Azteca there too.
And these memories will live today from this day. Thank you for the memories of you.
Basically, a spicy tortilla soup. Tomatoes, garlic, chile, cilantro. Very spicy. Anointed with avocado, lemon, and I would omit the dead chicken.
They tell kids it's okay to eat flesh and blood, and people are upset with me?
I had that soup so many times, just always reminding folks not to add the cheese or crema. I also remember enjoying coconut water straight from the coconut, chopped coconut in a bag with chopped mango. One other note, there were several tiendas naturistas that sold items like cookies or banana chips and soy milk.
Am I a soy boy?
I now choose rooms that have access to a kitchen or make sure that the city has lots of veg spots. With a kitchen, I get my avena, canela from a local market, get some cacao, chia seeds and almonds from a tienda naturista, and some fruit from a local vendor, and breakfast is good to go. If the kitchen has a blender, then lunch is set. I'll go back to said market or vendor, get my spinach, fruits, protein powder, maca, etc. Some of these items I bring from the States, plus my vitamins. But on that first trip, it was kind of fun trying to figure out a food routine. I remember sitting on Calle Juarez by the Mercado, eating those tacos de nopales, relishing in that vagabond freedom. Then walking back in to get a beet carrot juice.
Guanajuato
nourished me in many, many ways.
And that's all I got. How do you like it?
Let the blow fall soon or late. Let what will be o'er me. Give the face of earth around and the road before me. Wealth I ask not, hope nor love, nor a friend to know me. All I ask, the heaven above and the road below me.
This was recorded in City Terrace, East Los Angeles, April 2024.